You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome back to Feels Like Weezer, where we're discussing all of Weezer's songs, track by track, song by song, from the Blue Album to upcoming Van Weezer. I'm Eric Nash from Watchmen Minute.
And I'm Zach Franking-Smith. You can follow me on Twitter at The Informal Log. And today, joining us, we have the duo of destruction, the double threat. We've got...
Swear this, these intros are too much.
They are.
I'm James, returning to the podcast. I am one half of a DJ duo running a college radio station focused on 90s rock.
And I'm Wyatt, first time on the show, good friend with James. As James just mentioned, I'm the other DJ on our show that we have together on 90s rock, and we're both very big Weezer fans, excited to be here. So thanks for having us.
Yeah. Welcome back.
Yeah.
To the show. I had nothing else to say there. I don't know why I said it in such a weird way. Welcome back to the show, James.
There we go.
Welcome to the show, Wyatt. So glad to have you both here. Yeah, so how are things going in your neck of the woods? I'm always glad to have Central Time peeps with me.
Oh, it's great. You guys both Central, too?
I am.
He's throwing some shade. Slyly at me.
Yeah.
Well, you'll always get the shade an hour before I do.
Very good.
That was pretty good.
I'm surprisingly proud of that joke. But you guys, you're in Colorado, right? No.
Colorado College. But
Okay.
Yeah, I'm in Minneapolis right now.
Nice. Good thing that I hear there's some things going on in Minneapolis right now.
There are things happening.
It's not
the media right now, but all that chaos hasn't really stopped.
Yeah, I've been keeping up with it. keep fighting the good fight out there. And you're in Chicago, right, James?
That's where I'm from originally. I'm actually living in rural Texas right now with
some
friends.
James, I had zero clue. What are you doing out there?
Just living it up, seeing some new spaces, working remotely. It's
nice.
An interesting time.
Nice. That's awesome.
Running into a very weird assortment of people.
I'm sure.
Well, it's Texas.
What city are you in, James?
Yeah. So we're close to Galveston. We're basically across the bay from Galveston on a little peninsula. So
very
close to an epicenter, Houston, right now, but suitably removed from it.
Yes.
I mean, anytime you can live on a peninsula, you know, that's the way to go.
Oh, it looks awesome, James. I had no idea.
Well, I'm glad you two could catch up here on the show.
Yeah, you guys can just, we can just catch up more if you want.
I mean...
That's what the people want.
We gotta fill out content somehow. Jeez, no. Hey, Eric, how you doing?
Yeah, pretty good, man. How are you, Zach?
great update.
We can't all be living somewhere new.
Right, that is true. No, we're just prepping for that parasite that's going to be moving in soon. Childbirth. Is what's happening.
Oh, that's even worse.
Yeah, that'll be in August. So we're getting kind of close. My wife is miserable.
That's very exciting.
Thank you very much. We're really excited, but you know, we'll see. We'll see how it goes with this whole coronavirus and all that. Just because last time we were free to leave the hospital, you know, and go like move my car or like grab that a stuff change of clothes.
The logistics might be a lot harder this time.
The thing is, if like I'm allowed to be there, but if I leave, I can't come back. So
yeah.
It's great time. I changed jobs in April, which was super smart. I have zero vacation time in the middle of a pandemic and a child coming. Fantastic. I highly recommend you do that. Completely upend your life when major world events are happening.
But it's already being upended.
Right, exactly. Just keep... look, man.
Just why not? Like, let's just pile it on top, you know?
Exactly.
Double upender.
Well, I hear that people don't have these problems out west, Eric.
Yeah, in Beverly Hills, by chance.
What's not where I want to be?
How did you know that that's what we? What? How did you know that was my segue?
I don't stand a chance. It's something that you're born into, and I just don't belong. No, I don't. I'm just a no class beat down fool, and I will always be.
Number two.
I might as well.
So good, we're doing it twice.
Oh gosh.
Let's pump the brakes there.
Yeah. Hold up.
What'd you guys think of the song?
Oh man, where to start? There's nothing else that we can say that hasn't already been said about this song.
Oh, I'm sure there's a lot you could say about this song that we haven't touched on. Any positive comments would be welcome. Like any.
Because it's catchy.
That is true.
It's catching? like a virus?
Yes. So, coronavirus is pretty catchy,
Hills is
too.
Like a virus. Everyone has it, they knows it, and no one wants it.
That's very true.
Nice, James.
So I have the feeling that you guys don't like this song very much.
James and I share the same opinion on Weezer in that, you know, their first two won't be topped. And, well, yeah... So
I'm sorry. I mean, White's all right, but it's not that great.
That I wasn't specifically talking about White, but I mean, come on, everything will be all right in the end.
I mean,
it's better than Pinkerton. Come on, easy.
James and I are really big on Pinkerton.
All right, well, grow up. Then you'll not like it.
So. Okay.
Finally, being an adult.
What do you think, James? How are you going to defend that?
No, we're talking about make believe today. We're talking about make believe. Yes. We're talking about Beverly Hills.
I brought that up just saying that we, for me, it's an unfortunate deviation from the, you know, the Weezer sound that we like, the old Weezer sound.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my segue.
Gotcha. Yeah. That's, you can always tell it's a good segue when you say that was my segue. So, there can only be two things that happen when somebody says that. One, there's a bad segue, or two, somebody stole your segue and you see them writing it by. That was my segue. That wasn't a good one. I'm going to cut that one out. I'm going to cut that joke. Anytime I make a joke that makes me seem like an idiot, it's... Gone.
See ya.
So the podcast is 4 minutes long. But Eric, you were our last episode. You were our resident fan of this hill. This is the hill you're dying on. What?
let's go that far. I'm not that big a fan. I gave it a 7.5.
That's pretty high.
That's pretty high. Also, if we're going to assess it to the average rating, it's really high.
Yeah, that's like two standard deviations above
the average. Yeah, see, that's how we got to look at it here.
Yeah.
So what? So let's just kind of go in into the song proper. Just kind of break it down bit by bit. The I do like the beginning of this song.
It's the best part.
I agree. Strong. I absolutely agree.
It goes downhill from there.
It's I think Pat at one point said that, you know, the album was missing a wum wum ba song, and you know he I'm pretty sure that's almost like verbatim what he said. And
that totally sounds like something he'd say.
And they provided it with this. I think that just that opening bit, it reminds you a lot of like a lot of stadium rock, a lot of, you know, anthemic music. I'm thinking specifically like We Will Rock You, you know, but in a pitched higher, you know, you feel a little bit happier, and maybe it's not as, what am I trying to say? Aggressive as like We Will Rock You is.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure actually Rick Rubin, when they were making the album, actually told Rivers, like, you guys should have like a stomp, stomp, clap kind of song.
That's what it was. Album. It was, yeah, not, it was not Pat. It was Rick Rubin.
Rubin. Yeah. That's what I was going to assume. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And,
and unfortunately we got this mess. It's not the worst thing Rick Rubin has done, but it's certainly up there.
What would you say the worst is?
I don't know. His production, I'm not a fan of Rick Rubin's production in general, but
he's had some pretty good stuff.
Yeah. He definitely has, but he overcompresses a lot. He did a lot of Smashing Pumpkins stuff, but which some of it sounds good, but his work on the most recent Pumpkins stuff I think sounds pretty bad.
Sure.
Yeah, over compression.
That's beyond the point. Yeah.
He did some work with Korn, I think.
Yeah.
Which I think
the Chili Peppers and
there.
Oh yeah.
A lot of those bands.
Wyatt is a big Korn fan, so we could argue about that.
As a kid I was. Less so now, but I still like him a lot.
Yeah.
As a kid I was a big Korn fan too. I even called it Norn. but nonetheless, talking about the actual food.
Oh my god. Look at this freak on a leash here, am I right?
And that's virtually the only song I know by them.
the majority of people who know Korn. Like, oh, do you know a song by them? Oh, Freak on a Leash.
And I think that if you were to ask somebody my age about Weezer, they would say this, or the Africa cover. I think that this would be...
Yes.
Like... Yeah. Honestly, weren't those the guys who did Beverly Hills? Because, I mean, this was everywhere when I was in high school.
I think I was just telling someone about the band Weezer that they were very unfamiliar with. They're like very clueless about. And I said they did the song Buddy Holly and Beverly Hills and the recently
Island,
Africa.
Island on a Sun, too.
And I think they were still not confused. I think they were still confused.
I'm interested to hear for our two hosts, if you were Weezer fans at the time that the sound came out, what your first impressions were.
Yeah,
or just the first time you heard it.
I was a huge Blue fan, Blue and a bit of Pinkerton. I was coming around on Pinkerton a bit at that point, probably.
Okay,
but I barely listened to Green and Maladroit. You know, just once or twice each, probably.
Really. Yeah, okay.
And so when this came out, for me, I mean, definitely the music video, which we'll get into in a bit, but, you know, was definitely noticeable. I mean, I heard it, you know, there, you know, watching that a couple times probably, and heard on the radio a good bit, and, you know, eventually, a couple of years later, I probably picked up the album and so forth, and listened to it plenty more, you know. It was the obvious track to go ahead and put in a playlist then and play. And actually, I did a little bit of internet radio DJing in the late 2000s aughts.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair assessment. Because for me, I was definitely a big Blue and Pinkerton guy, but that kind of came after. I got back into Weezer. So, like, I loved mm-hmm. Blue and Pinkerton for a while, and then I kind of stopped listening to Weezer, or I didn't know that they were putting out new things. But of course, I'd heard Beverly mm-hmm. Hills, like, I mean, because it was everywhere.
Yeah.
And if you know,
can't not, like, if you own a car radio, you hear it.
Right.
Like,
I mean, there's a good reason that it, you know, went so, you know, became so popular, but
yeah,
you know, because it was scientifically designed to do that almost, but
no, exactly. Yeah,
I got back into it with Red was the thing. The Red album was really my segue back into sure. Weezer.
And what so convenience just hit you in the right place, huh?
I mean, yeah. A Pork and Beans is great. I mean, the music video, I cannot wait to talk about the music video of Pork and Beans. Like, I'm so excited about that. When
Pork and Beans comes on, I'm a dude. That's just good. It's just kind of an anthem.
Oh, absolutely. And I never really listened to Make Believe, just in general.
Good.
Did you just say good? That works. Yeah, that was... Uh-huh. Okay. And, I mean, so this is the album that I've listened to the least, I would say, out of everything that we've done so far, except for maybe, like...
Yeah.
Well, definitely that we've done so far. This is the one I've listened to the least, and I'm trying to keep it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I've listened to it a few times all the way through since we started the project, you know, just to get used to it, and, you know, but I'm not super familiar with it.
I'm so sorry.
I would put myself in the same boat. It's just, I just don't enjoy it front to back like the other ones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what about you guys? What because you're a little bit younger than us.
Sure. Yeah. So I was born in like 2001, and so but, you know, around like my first memories of music are around, you know, 2006 to 2008. It's so like, you know, when you're on the radio in that era, you got like Gnarls Barkley, I mean, you know, and you had Beverly Hills. So I remember hearing it at that age. You know, I was like, oh, it was a good song. Like, you don't really have a developed music taste at that age. But then, it's like freshman year, I started getting into Blue Album and Pinkerton because my buddy was a big on Weezer. And then, you know, just coming back to the more mainstream stuff, I didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, James? What's your experience with Beverly Hills?
I have kind of an interesting history with this song, actually, because as many of our listeners will know on our show, I didn't really listen to music at all for a very long time until like late high school. But this song is one of the earliest songs I can remember hearing and like having it in imprinting in my brain. A mix CD for a friend's birthday party in like 2007, 2008 or so. So pretty soon after it came out, I didn't really listen to music at the time, but I remember thinking, this song is so annoying. And that stuck with me, just like hearing it in random commercials or, you know, over the radio over the years. Every time I think, oh, it's that song. And then once I started to get into music more and I learned like who it was by and a little more about it, I just sort of had this idea that this was the very essence of commercialized, slick 2000s rock music. And this was just like the worst it had to offer, which in retrospect, I think was a really insightful thing for think, actually.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
Heard that story.
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't thought of it being a story until I was prepping for this podcast. But yeah, that's still the essence of what this song is to me. Just like the super commercialized, absolutely meaningless, soulless essence of banality.
Choice words.
Oh my God. It sounds like something I write on my like Zanga back in the day.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of amazing I managed to get into Weezer after listening to this song.
Yeah, this was a rough beginning. This was a rough start for you. But you know, glad you stuck with it, because, boy.
The second song I heard was Feels Like Summer, so I had a very rough beginning.
Hold on a second here. Let's back up and listen. What's the name of this podcast, James?
Oh, please. Oh, please. Don't tell me you guys are big Feels Like Summer heads.
Well, it's on the White Album. No, it's on Pacific Daydream. So, you know, I like Pacific Daydream quite a bit.
Really? What would you guys say your top three albums are ranked 1 to 3?
1 to 3? Good lord.
Actually, I'm just curious. I'm curious.
Well, I mean, it's pretty easy for me. Number 1. Or I'm going to go 3, 2, 1. How about this?
Okay, all right.
Eric, are you fine with me going first?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay. I figured you might need more time to think, because I think a lot about this. Number 3 is the White Album.
Okay.
Number 2, the Blue Album.
Ooh.
Number 1, far and away above everything else, Everything Will Be Alright in the End. Best album. One of the best albums ever written, in my opinion. I think it is severely underrated, and it needs it needs more push, and that's why Feels Like Weezer is now launching the Everything Will Be All Right in the End appreciation tour, where
we
will be traveling city to city all across America, dressed as the giant monster from the front of the album to talk to people about the joys of Weezer.
So we're doing an old horse dressed up as a horse.
That would be terrifying.
Yes.
How are you guys getting those teeth?
I'm just gonna stick my head through. I got Invisalign, baby.
I guess I'm the back end, right?
Or Eric, you could just be the whole thing, and I could ride you.
I'd rather be the back end. Then.
All right, fine. Obviously that's not going to happen because, you know, coronavirus, but join us in 2021 when we launch our Everything Will Be Right in the End appreciation tour. All right, Eric,
it won't be out.
Right. We still won't have Van Weezer. It's, oh my God.
I mean, I do think that's a pretty good album. Admittedly, I definitely prefer old Weezer more, but I should put in more time, I think.
You should.
Yeah. And there's a lot of good, I mean, you know, Back to the Shack, like Lonely Girls, I mean, I like all those songs a lot.
You named two songs on there.
No one likes Lonely
Girls. Cleopatra. No, they're all good songs. I
mean, exactly. They're all good songs. So
I don't know. There's something like, when I just put Blue in my record player, it's just...
I totally get it. No, I get it. I don't disagree. I like the Blue album quite a bit, obviously. Eric, I need to hear your top three.
I think I've said this before, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to stick with, I think, roughly the same thing, of one being Blue. I mean, I just it's hard to imagine that ever not being my number one.
Right.
Maybe going through this, you know, going through this whole thing, it'll change. But
you wait until we get to Ratitude.
Yeah. Right.
Oh boy.
Number one.
Stick to the top.
bump those numbers up.
But then, I mean, it's really so much a tie then at that point, though, between Everything and Pinkerton.
Mm, okay.
For me.
Gotcha. And by Everything, you mean Everything Will Be Right in the End, not everything else and then Pinkerton at the bottom. Because I'm like, that's a cop-out answer right there. But no, I get that. I understand that. Yeah, I don't know. What about you guys? What would you? I mean, we've really gotten far away from Beverly Hills at this point, but we gotta talk about something good first.
I'm gonna go. You know, I actually do like White Album. There are a lot of great songs in that.
There are.
So I'm gonna go 3 White, 2 Pinkerton, 1 Blue.
Okay. In a listing surprising literally nobody.
that's probably one of the most common, period.
Yeah. Yep. And that's, I mean, for good reason. They're good albums. I'm not a big Pinkerton fan, but I've talked about this at length, so I'm not going to do it again. James, what about you? What's your top three? And you're just going to say the same thing.
No. I'm going to sub out White and why it's ranking for Everything Will Be Alright in the End.
Smart move.
Most uncommon Weezer opinion would probably be that White is below Maladroit. I put Maladroit at 4 and White at 5. I think White's a little overrated.
I can... I I could agree with that. I think you're that is an okay choice. I think that's fine.
Okay, it's, I know
because Maladroit's
a lot of
really
people
good.
Think white is right up there with blue and Pinkerton, and I don't think so.
That's well. I mean, look, you're talking to the king of hot takes when it comes to Weezer here, with not liking Pinkerton. So, nothing surprises me. Unless you put Ratitude on the top, unironically, then I really need to talk with you and really find
Weezer
out where your
takes.
Mind is.
Weezer James hot takes, and I, James podcast. And I had a pretty hot take on Weezer. We thought that the best song Weezer has written in the 21st century is the State Farm song.
They were just they what?
Not written. The best song they've recorded.
Recorded. Sorry.
They covered the State Farm song.
That just was that, incredible. It sounded
the, like
a Pinkerton
like a good
B-side.
State Farm is yeah. that just that?
No, there's that actually an entire verse song. That was not used in the commercials that was written by Barry Manilow. It had never been recorded before. Rivers found the sheet music in State Farm headquarters and mm-hmm. recorded it all out.
That is a very
Rivers thing
very
to do.
Rivers thing to do.
And it's actually incredible.
It is incredible.
Well, we're going to have to dig that up. That's
You just search like Weezer State Farm song first video.
Okay, well,
it will be inserted soon into our spreadsheet.
Right. Yeah, that's a Patreon only episode. And if we hit a certain dollar amount per month, I will record a whole episode where I say nothing but good things about Pinkerton.
Wow. Quite the incentive.
$2,000 a month, you know, we'll get there. But no, the I do want to talk a little bit about the music video, though, for Beverly Hills.
Okay.
Because I think it is such an indicator of 2005. You've got Hugh Hefner.
Yep.
Being Hugh Hefner. Pat Wilson.
Just a total baller.
Pat being a total baller, getting a phone call from Hugh Hefner. And he's like, hey, yep. Do you mind if I bring a couple of people over?
Smoking a pipe, you know. Just...
I would have loved, I think what would have been funnier and more Weezer-like is if when he said, as long as you bring, you know, not too many, don't bring too many guys or whatever, and it's just all guys. Like,
that'd be hilarious. That the whole, ratio sucks.
That whole crowd shot, it's just, like, dudes wearing, like, the polo popped collars, you know, multiple layered polos.
Sure, sure.
You missed the heydays of that when, because you were what, 4 in 2005.
Yeah, but you know, through my years, I've dug back through YouTube around that time.
So I
kind of get what
polos,
you're saying.
The backwards fitted caps, you know.
Sure, sure, sure.
I think that just would like they're not even like really into it. They're just kind of bobbing, you know. Mm-hmm. Listen to the song. I think that would have been perfect, but I mean, that's really all I had to say about the music videos. I think it would have been funny if it was all dudes. just because, like, I have a lot of feelings about the Playboy Mansion, which are not positive. I think it's...
Fair.
I'm not going to go into it. Look, Hugh Hefner is a dirty old man. Dirty, horny old man.
Yeah.
With an impeccable fashion sense. But... he should not be venerated as the person that he is. And yeah, just it's just a generic music video. It's not like I wish they would have like played up a little bit more of that Beverly Hills lifestyle thing, quote unquote, you know, like if it was more, you know, kind of like a montage of footage of doing like driving of a car, like a good car.
Yeah. Cause I mean, that's what River said the purpose of the song was, just, you know, how nice it'd be to marry into that lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
right? And you know, that would have made sense if they just showed him living that lifestyle.
Or if it was, here's my ideal Beverly Hills video.
Okay, I'd like to hear this.
So, you know, when you start off the song, you know, where I come from isn't all that great. My automobile is a piece of crap.
Piece of crap.
You know, like we see that, and then you know he does marry into that lifestyle, you know, but...
Oh, kind of with the song.
Right, yep, it goes, you know, you have that hill, you know, where you've got this, he starts off low, gets really up, high.
Sure.
And then, like, he ends up right back where he was, you know, the rags to riches to rags story.
Yeah.
Rivers Cuomo.
That would have been too symbolic for Rivers. He's not capable of thinking that deeply.
You doing okay over there, buddy? But quarantine's really, you know,
really
hitting you hard right now.
Pessimism, James.
Okay, I'm gonna specify. He's not capable of thinking that deeply during this period of his life.
That is true.
And in the making of make believe.
Okay, that's sure.
Yeah.
And I think that's well shown in the album.
Yeah,
I'm gonna disagree.
Okay,
let's go for it.
Oh my god, I'm gonna get like, all right. Are you ready for hot take number 12 this episode?
Yes.
I think lyrically, the writing of some of the songs, not all the songs, is on par with the emotional feelings of Pinkerton.
Mm-hmm. I actually won't disagree with that for some songs. And that was actually some, you know, some reviewers at the time said that, mm-hmm. that it felt like it was returning a little bit to some of the emotional vulnerability.
Right. Exactly. So
I just
like,
think the songs are boring as hell.
I won't disagree with. There's some that are definitely snoozers, but I think snoozers. A lot of snoozers. Yep.
I'm adding that in my vernacular.
There you go. I'm glad.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Eric, you've been awfully quiet. What do you feel about this music video? You have watched it more recently than I have, because I've seen this like 100 times. That's the thing.
Yeah, as you mentioned, I mean, for Hugh, old man, just made me think of myself.
oh, really?
Yeah.
What's the Nash Mansion?
My old man take here is too many women with their boobs out.
They really need to cover up. This makes me uncomfortable.
This is not Weezer-like.
It's yeah.
Rivers is not supposed to be doing this.
Okay, that's
and Rivers had too much of a smile throughout.
Mm-hmm.
I would have appreciated his smile to be just a little bit less.
Yeah, there's a fine balance. There's a fine balance between happy and creepy, especially when there's that many bikini-clad women around you. You know, I'm just saying.
Sure.
That's
sure. Oh, you know, valid point.
No, it's funny that you say that. It's not Weezer. That's not Rivers. I was watching just some like live footage, and I found out that them and My Chemical Romance did a cover of My Name Is Jonas, and I had no clue that this existed.
That exists?
Yes. And
what?
It's a live
it was
show.
Live, right?
Yeah, yeah, it was a live. Well, okay. I guess it was kind of like a half cover because, you know, yeah, the people who wrote it, but so you've got it's a beautiful image of this on stage. You've got Rivers Cuomo in like a sweater with a collar, you know, a collared shirt underneath it. Khakis, dad shoes, you know, and his glasses. And then there's Gerard Way. In just all of his Gerard Way-ness. And this was during the Danger Days tours. So, you know, he's got like the red hair and just like the really peak Gerard Way, I would say. And it's just like this disparity between the two is it's really worth the watch, definitely. but yeah, exactly. It's like, that's not Weezer. Hey, that guy's got too much color in his hair. I don't like that.
yeah. that was pretty most people's problem with it, I would say. It's just not atypical.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a big My Chemical Romance fan, so that was really my appeal. It's two of my favorite things put together, and I'm like, this is fantastic.
Oh, MCR is good. I mean, I loved Black Parade was one of my favorite songs as a kid.
Well, I grew up, I was in high school when that album came out, which is peak, which was perfect.
Angst.
Exactly. You know, at the peak of emo music, and they drop Black Parade, which is the quintessential emo album, and
of
course. Yeah, it's perfect. Eric, you were emo, right? You had the when Black Parade came out, you started doing the eyeliner and all that, right?
No, when I was at work, you know, doing a normal work job after college, no, that's how old I am. The thing I was going to say for my high school experience with a bit of music was, I mean, I was there. Right at the peak time for me with Nirvana and grunge. I mean, that all happened right when I was in college or in high school.
So did that did the fashion of that kind of like affect you as well? Did you start wearing flannels and all that?
Yes.
Ruggedy hair.
See, I would love emo 100% more if it was the fashion of grunge. Like,
oh, for sure.
Like, if you were to combine those two, That would be like the perfect. It could span generations.
Grunge apparel with emo music. Oh, that.
Yes, because what I hated about the emo culture was the stupid hair. I hate it. I hate it so much. I used to have long hair. I had like shoulder length hair, but I never like styled it like they did, where it was, you know, like swoopy. You know, that wasn't my bag. I was always more of the grunge hairstyle, and I mean, can't go wrong with a good flannel, you know.
Yeah.
So, all right. Anything else about the song?
About the video or the song?
No, yeah. Video. Either or. I have one last thing about the video.
Go for it.
Okay.
Is that, and I don't know if you, because we really didn't talk about the video last week, right?
Mm-mm. No.
No. Because, you know, Beverly Hills and the Playboy Mansion. Playboy Mansion is not in Beverly Hills.
It's in
Holmby Hills.
Yeah, Holmby Hills, yeah.
What a liar.
Yeah.
Oh,
if only the video had come first, then they would have had to have sung Holmby Hills.
Holmby Hills. No,
the music comes first, so.
Great work as well.
Yeah, I think that that wasn't a smart move, I don't think. You know, like, is Rodeo Drive Beverly Hills? If only there was a way we could access this information. Like some sort of a telecommunications superhighway.
Yeah, it is.
Via wires and Wi-Fi.
Rodeo Drive.
Oh, man.
Well, there's a lot of nice houses in there.
Anyway, so I think that would be... That fits well with my whole... Not my alternate take, not my alternate take of the music video, where it's, you know, more of a montage of, like, famous people stuff, rich people stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, where they should have done, sure, like, things actually in Beverly Hills. Like, I don't understand why people think the Playboy Mansion is, like, the number one, you know, most opulent area you can live. Doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Look at how cool that guy is. It's the Playboy Mansion. Okay.
Yeah. I wonder if it has anything to do with the fact... Well, I actually don't know when the music video was made, but I know that Rivers has talked about how the song meaning has come to be regarded more sarcastically.
Yes.
And how he's not actually meaning it. Yeah. So I'm wondering if by the time they got around to making the music video, maybe fans had heard the song and were like, oh, he's not being serious. He's just talking sarcastically. And so he thought if he actually showed himself going from rags to riches and showing it was... real, he would be facing more of a backlash from people who are like, you're already rich, why do you want to be Beverly Hills? I don't know.
Right.
So he wanted to move it away from that. I don't know, I have to look up my argument is very flimsy.
No, I think it's a solid argument. Like, I think that could be a very good reason. That's a good thought process for that, honestly. I'm going to say it's canon. That's what that's Weezer canon right now.
Rivers, can we get some approval in here, please?
Look, according to Feels Like Weezer canon, Rivers Cuomo is a serial killer, and the Beverly Hills music video was made this way because he didn't want to seem like a fake to his fans. So,
if that's how we're gonna justify the video, then all right.
Can I get this signed off, Eric? Can we make this canon?
Well, I'll definitely say Rivers is the Zodiac.
Look, here's the thing. I've never seen the Zodiac Killer and Rivers Cuomo in the same room.
That's all I'm saying. I can't say that I haven't either. You know, this is some strong evidence.
Exactly. Yeah, I've never seen Rivers Cuomo and Ted Cruz in the same room together. So,
yeah.
That's all, Cruz, you know.
And Kurt Cobain are all the same person.
Rivers, Kurt Cobain, and Ted Cruz. That's my dream lineup for a super group. Rivers Cuomo,
I think the Kurt Cobain, Rivers Cuomo being the same person is one of my favorite conspiracy theories.
Oh, absolutely.
What? I've
heard this. Yes,
oh, it, heard it is. Yeah.
Is there any base in reality?
Well, is there any base in reality for any conspiracy theory?
Yes. Sure.
Kurt
absolutely
shot himself in 94. It's when, you know, Weezer came out. Rivers loved...
Nirvana. Like evidence. Like,
oh, evidence.
This is evidence. Stop it.
No, this is evidence.
Do you not know how conspiracy theories work?
Okay, I get
glasses. Okay. He looks like Kurt. It's, you know...
That's all strong there. Evidence.
It's all there. Yeah, that's all I need.
Yeah, exactly. Look, they both are musicians from the 90s. Obviously, they're the same person.
Oh, this is just so not... Can't be a coincidence.
Also, I'm pretty sure... Before Green came out, Rivers was in like a cover band, and they did Nirvana songs a lot. Homie or whatever. Homie, I don't know what they were called at that time. Yeah. So that another piece of evidence.
Exactly. You know, there's no way that Rivers would play music that's influential to him. He would play... Sorry, Kurt would play music that was influential to him. He would only play music that he wrote. Yeah. So.
Except for when he did Unplugged. Also,
yeah.
That... Okay. All right. Fine. That too. Look, we haven't seen Rivers with long hair. Like, what? He grows it out, it becomes blonde. That's just what happens. So he has to keep it short to keep it, like, the brown or whatever. It's true.
Look, also, if Rivers were Kurt, what every Weezer fan's primary goal would finally be fulfilled, because every Weezer fan wants to hear that everything they've made since 1996 has been a joke. And we know that Kurt would have done that if he were alive. So
yeah,
it makes sense.
Yeah.
Beverly Hills, just a commercial joke to make people. It's
get off my podcast. Sense. How dare you? Yeah. Red album is great. All right. So do we have anything else about the song, or do we want to get into, ratings, since we've already covered the other stuff?
Well, I do want to say two things about covers.
Go for it.
Two of the ones that we listed last week, and you guys will get a kick out of the first one. Apologetics, it's not a cover, it's a parody called Heavenly Hill.
Right.
Yes. Christian. So it's a Christian parody, guys. You know about that?
Beautiful.
Had you ever... Go check it out.
No.
And actually, check out... I went ahead and listened to more of, but still not all of the song on YouTube of JC's mom. that is the better song of theirs between the two. That's for darn sure.
I mean, the bar is pretty low.
Yeah,
Eric. Like, it's... I forgot about Heavenly Hills. I'm gonna have to, you know, get my CD burner out so I can, you know, make a playlist of just that over and over again.
And then there was this other band all called Twin Atlantic. So I listened to the first half minute of that as well, and maybe a little bit more of that, but they might be like Australian or something. There was some kind of accent going on.
Beverly Hills.
Yeah,
it's where I want to be.
Yeah.
That's pretty close.
Gimme.
I would listen to this.
Yeah.
Just those two, or did you find more?
Yeah, no.
Oh, okay.
I stopped there.
Gotcha. All right, so let's move on to our ratings then.
Okay,
James, love to hear what you have.
All right, so this is tough.
Here comes the floor.
I'm going to give Beverly Hills a 2.5 out of 10. And my gut kind of wants me to go a little lower, but at the same time, I feel like if this, when I finally go to a Weezer show and they play this song, feel like I'm going to sing along and enjoy the heck out of it.
So I know absolutely it's bad. Will.
I know it's bad. I know it's commercial banality, but yeah, maybe a 2.5 doesn't sound very high, but given my past history with the song, that feels high for what I think I should be giving it.
Well, it's actually like over 5 times higher than last week's.
Right. 0.4. Yeah, you're good.
Yes.
No,
I really like that they referenced the Pitchfork rating.
Right. I had said that we do a write up before every show or every season, and I did the one for Make Believe, and I sent it to Eric. I'm like, okay, correct anything you see, and he highlighted the 0.4, and he's like, you mean 4, right? And I'm like, no, that's 0.4, and he's like, how does that work? And I'm like, that's what it is. He's like, no, that can't be. This is the second time I've told this story on the podcast, and I think it is, I just love it. I love it so much. No, I think that's a solid rating, just because you do, you know, even songs that you absolutely hate, like when you see a band that you enjoy so much in concert, it makes that, like, even their worst songs, like, 1,000 times better. So
this is a great song to sing along to. I will give it credit for that.
It absolutely is. Absolutely.
I have never sang along to the song in my life, but I'm going to enjoy the heck out of it when that time comes.
All right. Well, Wyatt, what do you got for us?
Well, you know, I'm kind of similar to James in that, you know, my taste would negatively affect the rating. But, you know, just to be fair and be more objective, I'm going to give it like a 4. Because, okay. You know, I think objectively it's a good song, and like, I mean, it's popular for a reason. You know, I guess mainstream has a bad connotation for us, but, you know, at the end of the day, mainstream is popular, which means it appeals to a lot of people who don't happen to be big Weezer fans, but, you know. So, right. You know, while it's not the sound for me, I see objectively the appeal to it, so I'll give it a 4.
Solid. Solid. Eric?
Out of 10.
You say me, Zach?
Yes, I did.
Want you to go next?
I'd
rather you go next.
You want me to go next? Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, man, I just can't take the average. Okay, so I'm going to give this song a 4.25. It's not far off from my rating last time. I think there's a lot to enjoy about the song, like, if you're not a big Weezer fan. But as a big Weezer fan, I'm offended. No.
You put it perfectly.
Exactly. And, you know, like, my wife had said that, you know, she likes this song because it doesn't sound like Weezer. And it's like, okay, sure. Fair, you know. And how many, and you just kind of, Wyatt, what you said with, you know, it's mainstream, it comes to a lot of people. Like, how many people became Weezer fans because of this song?
Yeah, like,
either good or bad, you know, James.
River said that himself. He said, with this one song, we were able to transcend our little niche and connect with all kinds of people, young and old, from all backgrounds. I just read that quote.
Absolutely. You know, and yeah. So I think that deserves mention. Like,
sure.
I mean, that doesn't really affect my rating. I just wanted to say it. But, you know, I think it's okay. You know, like, if it's on a mixed CD, I'll listen to it. But Perfect Situation is what starts this album for me. So
I'll send you my second grade birthday party mix CD. You can take a listen.
Yes, absolutely. Please do.
Heard Who Let the Dogs Out, too.
Oh, my God. We never did find that out, did we?
No, it's true.
It's very, very sad. Eric, Let the Dogs Out. What's your rating?
Okay. So I'm actually going to subtract one whole point for the music video.
Wow, so, okay.
6.5.
That negatively affected.
Wow. That's,
So we still have a higher rating than last week.
Right. Yeah, way more.
Okay, but we're getting closer. We're meeting in the middle here.
still about as high as I ranked. What was it? Take Control when I was on last time. I can't imagine in my mind equating Take Control in Beverly Hills. I'm sorry.
No, I get that. I understand.
But yeah.
All right. Well, that's it.
I forgot something, and I think this is a pretty incredible point that when you think about it, it's quite crazy that we are getting Van Weezer because of Beverly Hills.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Rivers thinks that whenever he does a solo in the middle of Beverly Hills, the crowd goes wild. So it's time to start rocking again. So,
yeah, he said in an interview that solo was one of his biggest personal musical achievements. That in the third verse, and then I think it was
solo in Chorus of Falling for You, yeah.
Yep.
But
yeah, that's
from Beverly Hills, we get Van Weezer. So that is the most Weezer thing that can be said.
Wow, here comes Rivers Cuomo with the hot takes, honestly. I mean, as much as I do love a talk box solo, like, don't get me wrong, that's pretty great, but you know, Maladroit had better solos. Anyway, James, where can we find you on the internet? Love to hear more from you.
Please don't find me on the internet.
Sounds great. All right. So
I don't have any socials that really I want people.
No, totally.
I have open to the public. Yeah.
All right. So then address, phone number instead. You have to choose one of the other.
I have my my Telegram number is available, as is my fax. No,
my fax line.
You can always hit the fax. Always open.
If we ever go back to school in 2024, Wyatt and I will hopefully have our show back up, and you can catch us at the. Oh my God, what is our show called? Or what is our? Oh, the Sounds of CC, SOCC.org. You can catch the streaming link there. Our time, hopefully Mondays at 10. We'll see about that.
But yeah, hopefully we'll be back on, you know, sometime down the road because we got a few months before we're back at school, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Day keeps getting pushed back. So,
well, what about you, Wyatt? Do you have any socials you'd like to share?
No, I'm same boat as James. Yeah. And we just like to promote our show later when possible.
Sounds good. Yeah, we'll I'll make sure to include the link in the show notes for it.
Awesome.
And it'll be there for all time.
And it'll be there forever.
And ever.
Until Weezer finally becomes irrelevant. And with it, Eric and I become irrelevant. On that great note, I'm Zach Fracking Smith. You can follow me on Twitter at the Informal Log.
And I was Eric Nash on Twitter. I'm at Lucky Mustard. That's all.
Yeah. Other stuff. You've got Watchmen Minute. You've got Almost Famous Minute. Which Almost Famous Minute is part of the Pantheon Podcast Network, along with Feels Like Weezer. You can check them out, pantheonpodcast.com, or follow them on Twitter, at Pantheon Pods. You can follow us on Twitter, at Feels Like Weezer. You can check us out on Facebook, Feels Like Weezer. You can join the Feels Like Weezer Listener Society. That's on Facebook as well. It's a lot of fun. We talk sometimes. You can send us an email, feelslikeweezer@gmail.com. Check out our TeePublic store. You can buy some awesome shirts with some logos and slogans on them. And if you want to do something that's completely free that can help the show immensely, you can leave us an iTunes, Stitcher, whatever podcatcher of choice review you would like. That really helps us out, gets us some clout, internet clout. If you call it on Reddit, karma.
Karma. Oh.
Got to get that karma.
The intellectual's currency.
That's...
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.